Thanks, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm giving one of those talks where the bottom line is already on the title slide, so you can see that patients who are starting PrEP in STD clinics, at least in LA County, when we assessed them, we found that they were in great need of benefits navigation. And so I'm hoping today what you'll get out of my talk is really just understanding, at least in our experience, what we found to be the key barriers to transitioning patients out of an STD clinic once you start them on PrEP in that setting, and then provide an example of how STD clinics may fit into a broader network of PrEP providers and what we've been doing in LA County. So this is our PrEP continuum of care. Hopefully many of you in the room are familiar with the HIV continuum of care. And so this is in press right now, but we put it together to really help us assess what the unmet need for PrEP is in LA County amongst men who have sex with men. MSM account for 90% of our new infections every year, and so we started with that group to first do our continuum. And so you can see we estimated about 57,000 MSM in LA County could benefit from PrEP. So pretty big number, but when you actually apply we did it a slightly different way than the CDC, but the CDC's 24% estimate from vital signs last year tracks pretty closely with this. So we have 57,000 people who could benefit. We estimate 82% are aware of PrEP, 75% are willing to take PrEP, but then about 24% are probably taking PrEP right now. And the last three numbers are based on a survey we did through multiple meetup and hookup apps in May of this year. So what you can see is the real drop-off is amongst people actually taking PrEP currently. And in particular, we're very interested in making sure that our young MSM of color in particular, just like in other areas of the country, are the highest risk and the least likely to know about or be taking PrEP. So as you may know, LA County is a very populous county. We have 11 million residents, 88 incorporated cities. The green there is LA City, and so you can see we're much bigger than that, so LA City plus many others. Very diverse area, including urban, suburban, and rural areas. And I provide that just as a context because when we're talking about payment, we're talking, it's sort of really important to kind of ground yourself in what the landscape is. And so there was a report that came out last week using census data that confirmed what I think many of us in LA have been seeing, which is, the cost of living is incredibly high in LA County, and we now it's official that we have more people living in poverty than any other big city in the United States. So it's really, that's part of our milieu in which we're trying to make sure PrEP is easy and affordable to people who really need it. So in terms of health insurance coverage, we're in a better position than maybe many of you in other states because we are a Medicaid expansion state. In California, the percentage of uninsured dropped after the Affordable Care Act implementation from 16 to 11% overall in the state. But one in four of the uninsured are between the ages of 25 and 34, which is one of our key demographics, and nearly three out of five of them are Latino, another group that's disproportionately affected by HIV. And what are the reasons people are still uninsured in California? High cost for the health insurance plans is still probably the number one reason. And then there is a subset of individuals who are not eligible due to their residency or citizenship status. And then this is some national data that highlight that LGBT individuals are more likely to be uninsured than their non-LGBT counterparts. They're also more likely to lack a doctor or have enough money to access health care. So I think this is, again, I'm sort of painting a picture in which we're trying to make sure we were starting from the premise that for the people who really could benefit from PrEP, we want to do whatever we can as a health department to make sure that it's easy and affordable for them. So in June of last year, we finalized a PrEP implementation strategy, and we had several goals, one of which was to increase safety net options for people for PrEP. And so we had two main approaches to do that. One was that we actually put together and released a request for proposals so that we could fund community health centers, which are community-based organizations and providers in the community to provide PrEP for uninsured and underinsured individuals. But we knew that process would take more than 12 months by the time it really came into contracting. So at this same time, we started working with our county STD clinics to offer PrEP. We have 12 county STD clinics in LA, and so we started by offering it at two of our clinics in October of last year. So I think earlier today you've heard some of the other challenges with implementing PrEP, but I think payment continues to be the common theme you will hear. So in our STD clinics, we currently have no third-party billing infrastructure, no financial screening workers, no system to recoup any kind of payment from patients. And we had no staff with any experience with patient navigation or really helping do more than just passive referrals, really, to be frank. And so we didn't have staff who could do patient assistance programs or insurance enrollment or anything. And so while we're sort of, acknowledging that gap and wanting to work on that, we wanted to start offering PrEP right away. way. And so what we decided to do, or what we're able to do, and we're very fortunate, is we were able to identify county funding to support the cost of medical visits, labs, and medications for the highest risk STD clinics patients who came into our offices with up to a year of prep provided to them. And so the idea was that as soon as that we were able to go into contract with our community-based providers, we'd be able to transition those patients then to those providers for ongoing prep and primary care. And so what we wanted to do at the same time was actually start meeting with some of the patients and see, are there people who could transition sooner? You know, there definitely could be. As soon as if we can, transition one person out, that's one more patient we could take in and actually support with prep. And so what we did is we identified one of our staff who's our department's prep coordinator, someone who's very knowledgeable about prep and the financing landscape. And he, after people had their prep initiation visit, he did a discharge planning interview. He would discuss with them what their situation was with regard to having a primary care provider, their insurance status, their income. And really the goal of those interviews was to determine whether individuals had health insurance that could be used to pay for the prep drug. And in California, Medicaid or Medi-Cal program pays very robustly for prep, so there's no copayment. So that was one thing we wanted to do so we could give people prescriptions for PrEP if they had Medicaid or some other insurance that could support it. We also wanted to just identify if people had an affordable option in which they could transition to another medical provider for PrEP and then reach a mutually decided upon transition date, like the patient end, we felt comfortable that they could go to another provider. And then we also provided the option that we could give them a transition packet, so a letter, a copy of their labs, or even call their doctor if needed to help with ensuring they transition smoothly. So during the first 6 months of prep at one of the two STD clinics we were doing these interviews, we enrolled 49 patients in that time period, and 41 of them had a discharge planning interview. The nine who weren't interviewed were primarily not reached because they had to leave clinic. They didn't have time to stay and do the interview with us. The median age was 29. A majority were men. 39% were white, 36% were Latino, and 15% were black, 10% Asian. So out of those 41 patients, only two of the patients were able to create and act on a transition plan based on that in-depth interview that we did. 39 of the patients were not able to feel confident or be able to really identify what they considered to be a reasonable transition plan and wanted to continue to be seen in the STD clinic for PrEP. So I see a lot of nodding heads, which I think we can talk about more. So what we did is we actually went back through our notes and were able to classify what we thought was the primary barrier to transitioning out of the STD clinic for the 39 patients. So 20% of them were not eligible for health insurance due to their immigration or residency status, meaning they were undocumented. 49% of the patients needed benefits navigation. And what I mean by that is they were either eligible for Medicaid or covered California, which is our state health insurance exchange program, but they hadn't enrolled before, and so they needed somebody to help them with that. And with Covered California in particular, the plans really vary tremendously with regard to the coverage they provide for PrEP. And so they could really have benefited by talking to someone and figuring out which plan would be best for them, because maybe they were already on a bronze plan, but that meant that essentially they had no coverage for PrEP, and they should have paid more out of pocket up front and gotten a better plan. Or they already had insurance and they actually needed assistance applying for the copayment assistance programs from the drug manufacturer or other PrEP financial assistance programs which are out there, like the PAN Foundation. 26% didn't have an insurance barrier, but their real barrier was actually that they couldn't get PrEP from their primary care provider. And for a subset of the patients, it was that they had actually already tried to get PrEP from their provider, but they had been refused, either due to what the patient reported as a provider having a bias or saying they weren't comfortable, it just had never done it before, or the patient said they weren't comfortable asking their primary care doctor, or they didn't have a real established relationship with their PCP. Maybe they had been recently insured and they'd gotten a card that said, this is your doctor, but they really had never or maybe one time seen that person. 5% had confidentiality concerns in utilizing their health insurance under their family member, either a parent or a spouse. So when I go back and think, what I really feel like we learned from this is if we could have up front, we would have really invested in a PrEP specialist or navigator. I think any folks that are still in the pre-implementation phase, I would really recommend that you think about this. Benefits, navigation, and enrollment are really critical, I think, to really transitioning people if you're not planning on keeping these patients in your panel long term. And the assistance with the financial assistance paperwork, I think, is something that's worth, building into your staff. It doesn't take a lot of expertise, but it does require some experience and knowledge of how to do that to jump through the hoops. And then for the, I think what this substantiated for us is what we already kind of knew, but which is that we needed to think through how the health department was going to support the cost of medical visits and labs for the uninsured. You know, as our previous speaker said, the Gilead Patient Assistance Program helps with medications for the uninsured, but not for the other costs. And then I think the hardest population to really think through is the underinsured, so people who have insurance but really cannot afford PrEP under their current plan. So I'm fortunate to present a bit of an update on the evolving story. So we've actually expanded PrEP to 5 of our 12 STD clinics with plans to get to 8 by the beginning of next year. And we are making some progress on third-party billing, implementing an electronic health record, and obtaining some financial screening workers. And then in August, we were actually able to go into contract to support 13 community-based organizations for PrEP centers of excellence throughout the county. And so what they'll be able to do is for patients who have make less than 500% of the federal poverty level, they can access support services, including navigation and benefits, referral to primary care, a whole host of services, as well as regular PrEP and PEP services. And then patients who are uninsured or underinsured are eligible for their actual medical visits and labs to be covered through the program. And the program is stipulated on the idea that the drugs will be covered through insurance and patient assistance programs and the co-payment assistance programs. And so what we've been able to do is actually move our STD clinics more to a model of focusing on identification and initiation of PrEP in the clinic, and then within 4 to 6 weeks referring them to one of these PrEP centers of excellence for ongoing primary and PrEP medical care. And this is a map that just shows LA County. The color in the background, the yellow to brown, is the number of people living with HIV in the county. And we often use these maps to help sort of make sure that our services are delivered in the areas of need. And so the purple dots are our PrEP and PEP centers of excellence, and the black dots are our STD clinics. And the blue ovals are those STD clinics offering PrEP now, and the yellow are those that are coming on board soon. So, and then this is just a picture of our website. So we have a social marketing campaign called Get Prep LA, and it's the Protectors, which is a campaign we came to in based on some focus groups that we had with young MSM of color and transgender women. So thank you.
Thank you, Sonali.
Ashley from Minneapolis. We've been doing PrEP for 3 or 4 years and getting overwhelmed. I'm very interested in your model of the community clinics. Yeah. When you said you were going to have navigation at those centers,
yeah,
they're going to be located in the other clinics, not through your STD clinics. Can
so
you explain that a little bit more? Navigators?
Sure. So we're training our STD clinic staff to make those referrals to the centers of excellence, but then those centers would actually have staff who, it depends on how you define navigation, but who would be able to enroll them in Medicaid, Covered California, do all the follow-up between visits, the patient assistance programs, all those sort of associated services. So, but we're not actually staffing that in our STD clinic. We're just training them on how to make the warm handoff to the centers of excellence where they'll be able to get those services.
And all the funding is still coming from the Department of
Public Health,
Health.
And Dan Berjac from Everett, Washington. Do you have any kind of program to transition to make primary care more comfortable with PrEP? That's the problem I'm having.
Yeah, we do, actually. So we are doing a lot of provider education. We've done it up till now largely through CME-type events or invitations, grand rounds, things like that. But we actually are going to be emulating the program that New York City has done around public health detailing. So actually, we have drawn up a list of 300 providers who've diagnosed a case of syphilis or rectal gonorrhea in the last year, and actually targeting them for PrEP education. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Gustavo Trejo from Sacramento, California. So for those people that has a bronze plan, how do you guys help them to pay?
So,
because they don't qualify for a medication assistance program except for the co-payment cards, but that's it.
Yeah. So when developing our PrEP centers of excellence, we had to hash out what we'd consider underinsured. And so what we have considered folks who are on the bronze plan to be underinsured, and so then we're able to supplement the funding for them if they get denials for to help meet their deductible for their medical visits and labs. And I'm happy to talk more about that offline too. It's like okay. Very messy.
Thank you.
And just to add to that too, there's the Patient Access Network, PAN and PAF, Patient Access Foundation. Mm-hmm. I may have those acronyms slightly off, but they can help cover high deductibles and co-pays. And they've been going in and out of having money throughout the year. So I would keep on top of it because they did have no money and then have money again. But
thanks.
Sonali, another question over here.
Hi. Sorry. So my name's Matt. I am the prep team lead, prep navigator at Howard Brown Health in Chicago. I wanted to sort of continue that conversation about the populations of people who are underinsured and what happens, especially with the Affordable Care Act, when we have patients coming through who maybe can't afford their premiums, and then they are, and then they're in a situation where maybe they're able to access medication assistance programs without insurance, but then the cost of labs and the cost of the care, and it sounds like the county is able to pick that up for a year, but I'm wondering if you have any experience sort of navigating the situations where, where it's, and at that transition point, what's going to happen if the patient can't afford the insurance and, like, the cost of those labs? Are there sliding fee scale agencies or anything like that you've referred to or...
Yeah, so for folks, in our STD clinics, we're trying to transition people sooner now that we have our centers of excellence that are up and running. So within 4 to 6 weeks of starting prep, so usually they come back in a month, and then we're actively transitioning them to one of these community-based health centers. And at that center, they really do get intensive sort of benefits education, sort of figure out if there's a plan that they could afford that it could actually support the cost of prep, because sometimes like the middle-level plans may be a little bit more upfront but actually provide more comprehensive coverage for PrEP. If they really can't afford insurance and they don't qualify for Medicaid, which, I mean, in California, it's, you know, a lot of our, like, lower-income adults who have transient work experience and things like that can qualify for Medicaid if they apply at the right time, like when they're not employed. I mean, there's, like, ways to kind of, you know, get the system to work for you, and so I think we're all going through that process of learning that. We actually, as soon as we funded our centers of excellence, within a week we had a Covered California training, which was to tell them all about the health insurance exchanges, because we all needed to know, like, how does it actually work? How does it, you know, how do you kind of get the system for these patients who really need PrEP? And the system, it's not a perfect system, and it doesn't work for everyone, and so piecing those pieces together is very difficult, and so... yeah, we're all learning together, I guess, is the bottom line. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Sonali, I did want to ask you the same question I asked Kiana, just knowing there's probably STD clinic folks in the room who may not be offering PrEP. What do you think are, like, the key factors that enabled you to implement PrEP in STD clinics in LA? Like,
I mean, I think it's really a matter of getting, you know, champions that are, you know, leaders of the clinic. So, I mean, I think we identified our first two clinics based on morbidity and location, where we knew that they had a lot of high-risk individuals, but there weren't any other, like, community-based PrEP providers in those areas. So they kind of knew that those STD clinic providers knew they were really serving a population at need. And then we had one of our DIS during one of our initial trainings who said, because we had to go through values clarification exercises to get people to, like, make sure they really kind of address their biases around PrEP. This was, you know, a year or so ago. But, and what one of the DIS said, you know, I don't want to tell another person they have HIV. That's what she said during one of the trainings. And it just really, like, grounded us all in how important PrEP is as a tool to use in our STD clinics. And so I just think sort of getting the leadership buy-in, and then the staff quickly, you know, really saw the opportunity this provides.
Thanks.